Open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 66 is where we're going to begin this morning. I do want to remind you, we won't be passing the offering plate, but if you do have offerings you'd like to leave, there's a box right out on the welcome desk. As you leave this morning, we invite you to drop those tithes and offerings into that box this morning. So today we're going to start out in the book of Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 13. Now, some of you may have noticed, during, I like to preach in series. We've been in the series walking through the book of Luke, and I always take time to try to stop for these special days. And there's some who don't really see the necessity for it, but this morning we're going to talk about mothers. Well, and the good news is that all of us at least have that in common, right? All of you have a mom? This is yes. Right? I know some of you have been watching online, so you can interact. This is yes, right? So we all have moms. Now, the story of moms is going to be very different for all of us. Some of you may be very close to your mom. Some of you may not have had a very good relationship with your mom. So you may not have even known them. And so Mother's Day is one of those unique days that I think for all of us, we'll call our moms, we'll send them a card, we'll buy them a gift. But, as we look through Scripture, it's an interesting thing to find that continually we find evidence of God bringing us to these places, these moments, these times of recognition to remember the gifts that he's given to each of us. Now, thankfully, I had a mother who was very involved in my life, who loved me, who cares for me, and is still living. We get to visit and talk, and she gets to continue to invest and be a part of my life and my children's life. And for all of us, what we learn today as we look in the book of Isaiah is that I think the Scriptures we'll read really have more to do than just Mother's Day, but really impact how each of us are called to live our lives. This morning during our Sunday school time, we were in the book of Romans chapter 12, and one of the charges that the Apostle Paul gives to those early listeners and to us as well comes out of Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor." Now, we live in a world and in a context where those truths we don't see very often. We don't try often to outdo one another in love. Rather, we try to outdo one another in so many other things. And that beginning statement, love must be without hypocrisy. You see, what we find throughout Scripture is oftentimes God is described in ways that only really a mother can display. Now, some of you may have heard that statement. I heard it one time, and it probably wasn't used in the kindest of terms, but only a mother could. How would you fill that blank in? I heard it with "love that face," but it was a hurtful situation. We won't go into that. We'll talk about it later. But there's only some things that mothers can do, right? There's only some things that, as husbands, we just really, there's gaps that we can't fill. I remember when we first had kids, and we were living in Superior at the time, and there was a moment where I thought I was fairly capable. I thought, this really isn't that big a deal. I've had puppies before. Kids are basically just puppies that you have to change. It's not true, I discovered pretty quickly. There was a moment in time to where I just, completely melted. I didn't know what to do. It was Javis. We'll just blame Javis. And she's crying. I couldn't stop her. And you know what? I just had to, I fell apart. I got nervous and scared. This thing's going to die if I don't get it help. And so I called her mom. And what she did, I couldn't do. She picked her up, and the kid must have liked her more. But she just stopped crying. There's something that only mothers can do. Now, as men, we have an opportunity to invest and train and teach and help in ways that a mother cannot. But this morning, we're going to look throughout Scripture and find how we ourselves, whether man or woman, husband, father, whatever it might be, mother, that all of us can exhibit qualities of love that only God can give to us. You see, there are things mothers can do, things fathers can do, but there's one thing that only God can do. And this morning, as we look through that, I'll introduce you to a couple of big terms. Now, there's a lot of argument over this discussion. Some people get really, really upset. So the first one is complementarianism. Anybody want to guess what complementarianism is? Anyone want to guess what that is? That we complement each other. So that God created each of us to complement. So male, female, we were created differently, and we were created to complement each other. Now, for me, that's where I stand. There's another idea. It's called egalitarianism. There's another fun word. We'll be a quiz a little bit later. Hopefully you spell it right. Egalitarianism basically says that we are created and there's no difference. That man, woman, that ultimately we are created exactly the same. Now, we go back through Scripture. What we begin to find is that God created us each uniquely. That all of us have different talents and abilities, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, that there are different things that each of us can bring that the other really can't. You know, I mean, I think about examples of my own relationship with my children and with my wife. And, my daughter got a scratch, and I said, suck it up, you won't die, or I'll cut it off if that helps. And Shannon goes and gets a Band-Aid. You know, I mean, there's just a difference in how we deal with life. And it's not good, it's not bad, it's just different. And so we're going to look through these scriptures this morning from the point of complement, recognizing that mothers and fathers are different, and God has created each of us to exhibit qualities to help and to be a part of those relationships as well. Another thing we recognize is that mothers are not meant to do it alone, that it's done through both parties. Mothers, fathers are meant to be, as a part of these situations, a mutual investment. Now, unfortunately, we know that's not always true. Unfortunately, we know that oftentimes those relationships become broken. Oftentimes we deal with hardships and these idealistic pictures that oftentimes we find are challenging, particularly in the world that we may live in today. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, I think gives us a tremendous picture, not just of how a mother loves their children, but how God, first of all, loves us. Let me read that verse to us this morning. It says, as a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. You see, this ultimately pays the greatest of compliments that a mother could receive. That when God wanted to use a metaphor to explain his compassion and love for his people, he compared himself to a mother. Now, mothers, that word, that idea is oftentimes synonymous with comfort. Now, I want us to be careful because so many times we look at the Bible and we kind of use it in a flighty sort of way, like a greeting card sort of idea. Hopefully you got your mom a card for Mother's Day. If you didn't, she loves hand-colored ones, I promise. At least my mom does. But, you know, when we look at this picture, so many times we look at the love of a mother. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, my mom is probably watching online with us this morning, but the love of a mother is a fierce kind of love, right? If you are a mom in this room, you know that there is a fierceness that only you can have for your children. I mean, I have seen mothers like, I mean, it's a scary thing to see a mom when you're in between her and her kids. You know, and the picture of the love that a mother has is very synonymous, and God uses it often throughout his word to give us a picture of the kind of love that he has for us. You know, there's some interesting things that, as I studied Mother's Day, that ultimately, we know moms probably work harder than we'll ever know. I mean, there are things that they do, ways that they help, places that they serve that we'll probably never be aware of. Like, I couldn't deal with baby throw up. Gentlemen, I don't know if you've ever encountered that vile substance, but I got sick. And I couldn't deal with it. And here I am, you know, I'm not a small man, and I got sick dealing with a baby. But, you know, mothers deal with situations and things in ways that we would look at and we would think that there's no way she can survive, no way she can handle those things, but God has given them unique abilities and talents. And what we find is that 97% of mothers, there was a survey I read that told about the stress and strains of motherhood. And 97% of women surveyed actually said that they were very satisfied with being a mother. Now, that seems to be an interesting statement to say that they're satisfied with being a mother. But you know what most of them found is that there was 48% said that they felt underappreciated. 97% said that they felt accomplished and satisfied in who they were as a mother. But 48% said that they felt like they did it alone. Now, it's an interesting thing. Does anybody know who created Mother's Day? Anybody know? A mother? It was a mother. You're right. Anna Jarvis. Anna Jarvis is the woman credited with starting Mother's Day. Mother's Day, the first official celebration, was in 1905. And it was actually called Mother's Friendship Day. And on Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis wanted to create a time of recognition and thanks for the mothers that had gone through the Civil War. And this situation, it began in West Virginia, and Jarvis had had this inspiration to encourage not just women, but everyone to become friends, to give the type of motherly love and encouragement that we find so often to one another. Now, the reason I read Romans chapter 12, and I'll go back to that verse for us, it says, love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. You see, that picture really tells us that as we encounter and walk with each other, we are first of all to give the love of Christ. We love because He first loved us. Mothers love because they first were loved by God. But you know, just like many other things, as Jarvis encouraged Mother's Day and began to support it, in 1914 it actually became a national holiday. In 1915, Jarvis actually put in a petition to end Mother's Day. To end Mother's Day. And her complaint, the official statement said, "This is not what I intended it to be. It was to be a day of remembrance and celebration and not of profit." See, how often can we take as people the love that we are provided, the hope and encouragement that we find in one another, and can we quickly distort it? You know, the love that we have through Christ, what He has provided for us, we can quickly take and we can manipulate it and use it and begin to take it as a tool that can bring destruction. So I want us to look this morning at the role of a mother. And the love that we see exemplified through those God has given to us to show to one another. Let's begin this morning. I want to look at Leviticus chapter 19. That's always a good place to start. If you've ever read Leviticus, it's a fun book. Leviticus is a very challenging book. But Leviticus 19 verse 13 reminds us this. It says, "Each of you is to respect his mother and father. You are to keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your God." You see, God, first of all, brings us to a place of recognition of the order of life. That He created all things, and He tells us to observe the Sabbath rest. And then secondly, He calls us to respect our mothers and fathers. Now, some of us, most of us, probably grew up in a situation where if respect was not given to a parent, it was quickly reciprocated with punishment. I was trying to think of a different word. I was going to say loss of teeth, but you know that may not be the case for all of us. But you see that there's a biblical command that tells us that God created things in order, and when we get that order out of place, things become distorted. Now listen. All of us can recognize we have watched the destruction of the family for generations. We have watched how culture and society has begun to distort and break down these truths. But what Leviticus tells us, when we put God first, everything else falls in place. It tells us that we are to respect, we are to honor, we are to keep the Sabbath. And following that, we are to respect our mothers and fathers. You see, what a beautiful picture that we find, first of all, the love that God has for us. And that direction that he gives to us tells us that when mothers, when fathers, when men, women, children put God first, everything falls in place. So as we continue this morning, what I want us to do is I'm going to give you a character or a quality that mothers are called and often exhibit. And I'm going to give you a scripture that builds up and reminds us of the commands that God gives to each of us, not just to mothers, but to each of us. So the first one is this: your mother wants your affection too. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Your mom wants your affection too. You know, what's interesting as we look through scripture is God talks often about where our heart is. The Bible tells us where our heart is, there also our treasure what? Lies. That ultimately where our affections are is where our attention will be drawn. Now, the world calls for our affection and attention in so many different places. Now, Elijah gives us a unique story. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. We're going to go all throughout the Bible this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. Elijah had just invited Elisha to join him in his work. And this invitation was really to be an apprenticeship of how Elisha would lead Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20, it says this: Elisha left the oxen and ran to Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my mother and father, then I will follow you." "Go back," he replied, "for what have I done to you?" Elijah was happy to go. He had been called on this great mission, but Elijah recognized that this call was for him, first of all, to follow the order that God had given. Maybe this morning you haven't taken an opportunity to call your mom and tell her thank you. To call your mom and remind her how thankful you are for all that she's done. And maybe you don't have that opportunity. But maybe you have an opportunity to go and to share that with somebody else. Maybe you are a mother yourself, or maybe you have a friend who you know that just needs some encouragement. You see, it's not just mothers we're dealing with this morning, but really how we take and use the love that Christ has given to us and share it with others. The second thing, mothers also want to know what you have learned. Can you believe that either? Moms want to be affected, and they want to know that they have your affection, but they also want to know that you've learned something. I'm sure I'm probably alone in this situation, but I'm quite sure that there have been moments in time to where the phrase has been uttered in my direction: "Have you learned nothing?" And the answer is probably yes, a lot of times. But you see, moms want to know what we've learned. You know, one of the neatest things that I watch my kids grow up and learn and progress is for them to come and tell me things that they're growing and things that they've learned about. Proverbs tells us this, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching." Now, there is a great philosopher from probably the last century, and his name you'll probably know full well. His name was Forrest Gump. Anybody ever remember, heard of that philosopher? How did Forrest Gump start all of his statements? Mama always said, you know, there's an interesting truth in that. That oftentimes when we reflect on the things that our mothers and our fathers have learned, things like eat your vegetables, wash behind your ears, always tell the truth, say your prayers, those things are important qualities that weren't just niceties that our mothers told us because they were good ideas, but because truly that teaching, that training affected us for the rest of our lives. I've failed on the vegetable part, but I'll try. You see, that learning that we have had, that privilege that we've been given, the role of a mother as they invest in their children, is the call for each of us. I believe not just mothers this morning, for us to listen to the instruction of the Father, that God has given us His Word, that He has given us His instruction, and He wants to see what we have learned. This morning in Sunday school, I was sharing a little bit about some of my experiences that I've grown in my faith. And I remember there was a lady in the church I grew up in, and, And she could almost think in Scripture. I mean, she knew God's Word so much that literally when she talked, it was hard not to find some Scripture reference in it. You know, as I've grown in my faith, I've been able to see in those truths that God has reminded me time and time again that when a situation comes, I can go back in my index, if you will, and say, oh yeah, the Bible says this. And isn't that what most of us do for the truths that our mothers and fathers instilled in us, hopefully? That we can go back and say, oh yeah, somebody said this once. Like, don't touch a hot pan, or don't lick doorknobs, or something like that. But there's always a truth as we go back to God's understanding that He put those things in place for us to grow. Your mother also wants you to be wise. Look a little bit further in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1 says, Solomon's Proverbs, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, heartache to his mother. Sam Levinson said this, it is so simple to be wise. Just stop thinking, or just think of something stupid to say, and say the opposite. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, your mom wants you to be wise. Listen to the instruction of your father. Listen to the things that you have been taught or been told. And first of all, listen to the instruction of the Lord. Another thing, your mom wants you to show gratitude. She called me and told me. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. See, deep down we know that mothers deserve gratitude. Fathers deserve gratitude. But you know what's interesting is oftentimes we don't do that. We'll go back to Romans chapter 12 and the verses I read for you, verses 9 and 10, tell us that we are to outdo one another in showing honor. That as we relate to each other, we are to outdo each other, not from a position of pride, but from a position of recognizing how greatly God has loved us. See, gratitude is that call, it's that thing that God has given to us to recognize how greatly we have been blessed. I know some of your stories, and you know mine. I know some of us have had difficult family backgrounds. Some of us have had very hard circumstances that we have encountered. But what we know, first and foremost, is that we have so much to be thankful for because of what God has done. No matter where we may be, no matter the encounters we have in this life, we understand that we have a call to a position of gratitude. We have a call to a place to recognize that unto ourselves we are utterly flawed. You see, mothers are also worthy of reverence. Going back to Leviticus 19, verse 3, each of you is to respect his mother and father. You are to keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your God. Or to put it maybe in a more modern way, honor because of the way they believe in their children. Honor because God said so. Matthew 20, verse 20 and 21 says this, then the mother of Zebedee's sons approached him with her sons. She knelt down and asked him for something. What do you want? He asked. Promise, she said to him, that these two sons of mine will sit on your right and on your left in your kingdom. You know, what's interesting is that this mother came before Jesus and she came in a position of reverence. Each of us, as we look at the order and how God has created us, we are first of all to come from a position of reverence. But as we approach God, that ultimately we have no standing. Ultimately, we have no position. But what we have is the blood of Christ. And we're called to come before God in a place of reverence. We are called to come before God recognizing all that He has truly blessed us with. You see, mothers want us to live with that in mind, and that's the greatest quality that I can look back over my life. And my mom continued to remind me time and time again of the things that I had learned, the things that I had been trained to do. You know, all of us, some of you may have you ever studied memory techniques. Anybody familiar with memory techniques? How often it takes you to memorize something? You know, there's an idea, there's a thought process in how our minds retain information. I was told years ago that the only way for a person to remember what you've said is to say it until you're tired of saying it. And I think moms probably recognize it. Have you ever been to that point? To where you're starting to say it so much you're tired of saying it, that's the point when they're starting to listen. You see, you look throughout Scripture and God tells us time and time and time and time again. And then all of a sudden, we start to pay attention. All of a sudden, we come to this place where we say, oh yeah, didn't he say that? You see, as believers, not just as mothers or fathers or sons or daughters, we're called to come to this place to where we begin to recognize God's instruction in our life, the call to reverence that he has placed in our hearts. The next thing mothers provide for their children in ways that we can never imagine. Good mothers do more than facilitate good self-esteem in their children. They also provide for them. See, we see in the story of Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and I'll read these verses for you, this picture of how God, through mothers, provides for his people. Let me read it. It says, now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe at the Nile while her servant girls walked along the riverbank. Seeing the basket among the reeds, she sent her slave girl to get it. When she opened it, she saw the child, a little boy, crying. She felt sorry for him and said, this is one of the Hebrew boys. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, should I go and call a woman from the Hebrews to nurse the boy for you? Verse 8, go, Pharaoh's daughter told her. So the girl went and called the boy's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay you your wages. So the woman took the boy and nursed him. When the child had grown older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. What a beautiful way that God continues to provide in ways that we can never imagine. You see, one of the great things that mothers do is they provide in times and places and situations that we can never imagine. But you see, it comes from God. God has provided for each of us in times and places and ways that we can never imagine. You see, you look at this story of Moses, and we ultimately know what Moses went on to do. In an unlikely situation to where Moses ultimately, the command had been that every Israelite boy, firstborn child, would be killed. But Moses had been spared because God had a plan. You see, even in times and places where we don't think he has a plan, he does. And we're called to trust in that, even so often when it just doesn't make sense to us. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this, but if anyone does not provide for his own, that is his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You see that all of us have been given this call and command to respond to the provision that God has given to us. And then to, in turn, provide for others. You know, good mothers will give of themselves beyond what they believe they truly have. I can remember moments and times where I have just been incredibly impressed at the strength of my mother and my wife. To see what they can go through, to see what they can endure. Moments that would literally, I couldn't even keep my eyes open. But yet they chose to provide in places and ways that I couldn't. See, God does that for us. He provides for us in times and places that we could never imagine. And he calls us to do that for others. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters. That we are called to provide for the ones that he has given us. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44 says this, "Look, everyone who uses Proverbs will say this proverb about you, like mother, like daughter, or like father, like son." You see, we each have been given a call, no matter if we have children or not, no matter where we are in our lives, that our examples speak of our lives to others. That how we live will oftentimes rub off on those that we are around. Now, it's interesting, as I have gotten older, there are things, and I'll admit, again, I realize my mom is probably watching with us online this morning, so I got to be a little careful. But if any of you ever noticed things that maybe drove you crazy as a child, you start doing as you get a little bit older. I remember there are things and stuff that that would happen that, man, it just drove me nuts. And now as I'm getting older, I started to see that, well, maybe I do some of those things as well. You know, what's interesting, I think, you know, for all of us, I know the situation I was raised in and my life and those things have brought out good in my life. Now, the question is, what are we showing to others? What is our heritage? What is our lineage? What are the things that we are allowing to be reciprocated in our lives? You see, I'm sure there are some things that the qualities that I have learned and grown in that probably aren't the best. What are the things that we are allowing to speak into who we are? And how are those things affecting those around us? Mothers have this innate ability and quality to encourage in places and ways that most of us can never truly fathom. But we are called to, first of all, exemplify our Father. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, whomever you might be, that you are called to exemplify the love that Christ loved you with. The love that Jesus came and showed to us on the cross, we are called to go from this place and we are called to show it. My hope is that for each of us, we would say, like father, like son, or it would be said of us, that when people see our lives, they see Christ reflected. Mothers so often exemplify those aspects of the love of Christ that each of us should strive towards. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It tells us this. Clearly, reclaiming your sincere faith that you first lived in your grandmother Lois, then your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. You see, this heritage, this lineage that Paul reminds Timothy of, is that he was trained not only by his mother, but his grandmother. They invested, they shared, and they pointed him towards God. The question for all of us this morning, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, is who are you pointing others to? Are you pointing them to the truth of God? Are you pointing them to the position of love? Are you reminding them of what Christ has done through your words, through your actions? Let me read Romans chapter 12 one more time to us this morning as we begin to conclude. Verse 9 says, "Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor." The final charge I want to remind us of is that your mom wants you to be godly. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25 say this. "The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Let your father and mother have joy, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice." Nothing will make your mom happier. From this place, I want to tell you thank you, because some of you have become my mothers. Some of you have invested in my life and encouraged me and helped me and built me up in places and times where I needed it. Thank you, moms, for all that you do. Thank you, dads, for all that you do. But as believers, as followers in Christ, we're called to go and we're to show that love, that brotherly, that familial love to all of those around us, to outdo one another in showing that affection and the love of Christ as we reflect what Jesus has done in our hearts. Let me pray for us as Shannon comes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for times where we can recognize and remember those that you have blessed us with.